Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Welcome, everyone, to Worcester Naz podcast. I'm Pastor Sheldon, and here in the studio today with me, special guest, Pastor Delaney.
Hi.
So Delaney Brinkman is our new kids pastor. She was just introduced Sunday, although you've been working here about 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to have you. We have prayed about who is going to step into Cindy's shoes as soon as she retires. And that won't be for a little while yet, till late September. But we are excited that you get to spend this time with us, overlapping with Cindy and getting going. So yeah, welcome.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, we got to know you a little bit on Sunday, and those of you that didn't see it should go back and watch it. She talked about her parents and her pets and Mount Vernon a little bit and some of the things that you know and have done. I wanted to get a little bit deeper into what led you specifically to Worcester Naz. What was that like for you? I know from our side, it was a long process. We had talked to a lot of people. I don't know, for you, it might've been very fast. I just wanted to hear some things that led you specifically to Worcester Naz.
Yeah, I was praying in January. I knew I was going to graduate in May, and I had been praying for a while about where I should go. And it got to the point where I was at a retreat, and I was just praying, God, show me the way to walk in, and I will go. No matter what it is, I don't know what's next for me in ministry. And I was telling a professor about it, and she said, I have a job for you. And I was looking at a couple other options as well, but I was like, okay, so I'll go along with it. And I emailed my resume to you.
And, yes, you did.
And I was really excited. And she said she thought it would be a great fit. I felt like it was pretty quick. I think I sent in my resume in March, and then I came to visit in April and loved it. And it was amazing. I did one service in kids ministry, and right. then one in service. And it was just, I felt so much peace coming, and yeah. I was so excited about it. And I just felt like that was where God was telling me to walk. So I'm super yeah. excited.
You felt the door open in front of you, and you were obedient to step through it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily an easy process for you, I'm sure. Like, there was interviews and the awkward questions getting asked and all of that. Yeah. That's a lot, being in college and then having to sit through all of that. And yeah.
Yeah, I remember our first Zoom interview. It was me and the DLT team, and it was really fun, but I was so nervous.
It didn't come through very much at all. I knew when I first got to talk to you and you were on that interview, first of all, your resume was great. And came highly recommended from Mount Vernon, and the professor that you mentioned definitely put a good word for you, and Keely put in a good word for you. You had your own little fan base before.
That's you, so yeah. sweet.
Before anyone else knew, but everybody that we talked to was like, you have got to meet her. You've got to talk to her. And it was great. You are clearly called to ministry. This is something that's been a part of your life, and you've talked to us some about that. Just share with the rest of us just your path to ministry, your call to ministry, and what it's been like to follow that and discover it.
Yeah, my call to ministry is a little bit weird. A lot of my friends in high school were getting their call to ministry, and it was they were at a retreat, and they had this really cool moment with God where they were called, and I kept asking why I wasn't called to ministry, and I was so confused. I was thinking, why have I not had this moment? I feel like I love the church, and I'm not, like, am I not special enough to have a call? And I think that we all have a call to ministry, no matter what we're doing, right. vocational ministry or out in the world. But I just had this love for the church my entire life, where I everything I wanted to do. I wanted to be at the church. I wanted to do every volunteer opportunity. I wanted to serve in every possible way. And I was so confused why I wasn't called to ministry. And so later on in high school, I kept I was just a little bit confused. I thought that going into Christian counseling was the route that the Lord was calling me. But then I realized that this overarching theme of a passion for the church and for service was actually my calling in itself. And that was a big realization for me. I didn't fully realize it until I got into college, but it wasn't like a single moment, but it was a theme over my entire life.
Yeah. You felt like you couldn't do anything else. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've often felt like that. And even when I had a full career outside the church, church was where I wanted to be. And I wanted to be here helping with whatever was happening, just being a part of it, participating. So yeah, you're absolutely right. As Nazarenes, we believe in the ministry of all believers. Everyone is called to ministry. And there is a specific calling for pastoral ministry, but sometimes it just becomes that irresistible draw of like, this is what I want to do with my life. I don't know when the opportunity is going to come, but this is what I know I need to do. Yeah, that's very cool to hear. So you did that call kind of clarify before Mount Vernon or during your experience at Mount Vernon?
It was during.
Okay.
I came in as a psychology major, ministry minor. And after the summer, after my freshman year, I realized that I was called to ministry, and I finally felt belonging in that call.
Okay.
And finally kind of accepted that for myself. So I added ministry as a second major going into my sophomore year. And then from then on, I loved all my ministry classes. Psychology was great. Right. I really was interested in it, but every class that I had in ministry, the more and more I was in it, the more I just felt so much belonging. Like I loved my like Greek and
right.
New Testament, Old Testament classes. Those were amazing. And then also the practical ministry classes were amazing as well.
Yeah, those of us that teach the word, you know it's a passion of yours when somebody starts getting into the Greek and you're like, I need to know more, or like getting into Old Testament, what it was like in the Old Testament for people to live it and that experience these things. And one of the things that was most fascinating for me in our New Testament class was setting the scene that Jesus walked into and what was the culture like at the time. What was it like between the Romans and the Jews? And how did we have synagogues coming out of the Old Testament? You didn't have synagogues in the Old Testament. How did we get those? And just a whole bunch of background. And my whole New Testament class felt like we're not in the New Testament yet. We're setting the stage. And I found like that was the most fascinating mm-hmm. part for me, is getting into the world of the Bible and hearing those words in context. It was, yeah. I don't know. It was something that maybe it was me nerding out, but I love it. Anything connected to that.
Yeah. I think that everyone, like, no matter what, I feel like taking those classes or learning more about the Old and New Testament and the history behind it is so beneficial. Right. It's like a whole nother level of just understanding the context behind Scripture.
So a lot of people your age that are coming out of college or maybe still in college, late teens, early 20s, people can tend to drift from the faith or drift from the church or get involved in their school and kind of not be in their local church for the first time in a while. What would you say to somebody that's trying to find their calling, their fit, their place in the church, in the season of life that you're in right now?
Yeah, I think that it's important to say yes to invitations.
Oh,
to go
yeah.
to just to go to new things in the church. Like last night I went to pickleball for the first time and I met people there. But going to the young adult group is always important, and looking for people in the congregation who could be a mentor to you. I think that's so vital. And those mentors can also connect you to other people in the church. That saying yes to invitations, and also just praying for godly community, that the Lord would bring those people into your life, because that is just having that community is so important to just living out your faith and being a part of a church community.
Yeah, I love what you said about mentorship there. So many people will sit back and want somebody to come and mentor them or tell them what to do. But mentorship is something you seek out. Mm-hmm. It is somebody that you're like, I want to win in this area. I see somebody who's successful in an area that I hope to one day be successful in. I will walk up to them, initiate the conversation, and say, can you teach me to do the thing you so obviously do well? And to realize that their time is valuable and those kinds of things. So the people that are the most successful in ministry, in marriage or business or whatever it is that you're looking to excel at, they probably have limited time to do mentoring. And so somebody that comes to them and says, hey, I want this and here's what I'm looking for. That's something that not everybody is doing.
Mm-hmm. It right. takes a lot of courage to ask someone to be your mentor, but right. it's so worth it.
Yeah. And the follow through of listening to them and then doing something about it and not just sitting back and wishing that you got those results someday. Yeah. That's awesome. That's good advice. So what excites you the most about kids ministry at Worcester Naz? You've been in it 2 weeks. One of those you've had to lead. We kind of just threw you into the fire a little bit. Cindy did a great job preparing you, I'm sure. And so what is it, as you look ahead to kids ministry at Worcester Naz in the future, what is it that you're most excited about?
I'm super excited about connecting with kids one-on-one and getting to know them, but also getting to know their hearts for the Lord mm-hmm. and for ministry, because kids are, they just have such a hunger for Jesus. And to be able to sit yeah. and to talk with kids about faith is just so, it's so impactful to me and it fills my heart. But it also is just such a great part of, obviously it's such a great part of kids ministry. And I'm excited about winter camp.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about winter camp, and doing a lot of events with the kids and building those connections will be really fun.
Yeah. Something we pastor often says around here is that quality time with kids, or that quality time with the children in your household, that comes out of quantity time. And so kids camp is a perfect example. You're looking forward to it because you want to build those one-on-one connections. And it doesn't always happen when we just have limited amount of time with each other, but you get that extended time. I'm looking forward to teen summer camp. I think that's going to be great. And there's preteen camp and there's kids camp over the summer and all of that. And then we have kids winter camp. Anytime that you can get extended periods of time with students, if you're a parent with your own kids, that quality time will come out where you get to have those conversations. It's a super good environment. So my recommendation to parents and anybody that's looking to get people building that connection, that linking process that we talk about, that comes out of gathering for an extended period of time. Yeah. So no, that's very exciting. Anything else you're looking forward to personally or?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to exploring Worcester.
Yes.
I love exploring new cities, new coffee shops, especially. Right. So that will be really fun. And just getting to know everyone on staff. Like, it's already been such a great environment, but to continue those relationships, I think will be really beneficial.
Yeah. I'm biased, but I would quit any job to work with these people. And I have done it. Yes. It's a good environment to work in and the best people to serve. So yeah, I know you're going to love it. Worcester is a great town too. Has a lot to offer. So yeah. Something from Pastor's message. He mentioned an Abraham Lincoln quote that stood out to me, and you just recently heard the message because you were working in kids' church all day on Sunday. But he said about being too kind, somebody was challenging him about being too kind to his enemies. And he says, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" And I had never heard that quote before. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit more. How did that hit you? Was there anything that you thought about when you heard that? We can go a little deeper there if you want to, but.
Yeah, I think it's, it's so hard these days to think of, like, I don't know, it's so hard to love your enemies sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even to think about people that aren't necessarily your enemies, but people that you might be in a hurry and you're at the grocery store and you might just kind of miss them. And so it reminds me of the need to be intentional with the way that I'm loving people and loving right. my community, not just the people that I would consider my enemies, but the people, not that I have any, I don't really have any, but
that is part of the problem. Yeah. You have no enemies. No, I'm just kidding.
But just to be really intentional about the way that I'm loving people
right.
and the way that I'm present with people.
I think about it with kids. I've seen it with kids a lot where you see two kids that are kind of rivals in a group or they have it out for each other, and watching that process of them becoming friends and what it is, the small things that will change that relationship. And I do think that adult relationships are much the same. We can think of someone as other or as like this is an adversarial relationship, but the very smallest thing that you do and kindness and observing who they are and what they're about, like you said, intentionality of looking for people and listening to people and changing the tone of the conversation and genuinely meeting people where they're at, it can be so impactful that you change that adversarial relationship to one where you have something in common. And with kids, you can almost see it play out on the playground or in kids' church or in a classroom. You can see it play out. I don't know. You've been a lot of places with a lot of kids. Have you seen the same thing? Or
yeah, a little bit. I think it's always with kids, it's always important to say, this person has this thing in common with you. And maybe you can, like, normally that brings people together in yeah. that way. But also just to pray with them and be a good example to them of what it looks like to love those around right. you.
No, that's really good. One of the things that I thought about with loving your enemies, sometimes we are our own worst critic, and some of us are our own worst enemies in that regard. And if that voice that's the most critical of you and most adversarial to you is your own, you are called to love your enemies too. And sometimes we have no love to give away because we haven't really rectified what it means to be whole and comfortable in our own skin. And so we're uncomfortable giving away that love to other people. And that's usually the first step of saying, Jesus, come in, make me different. Help me to love who you are creating me to be and who I am created to be so that I can be that to other people. Yeah. I don't know if you had anything to add to that. No,
but I think that's good.
That was something I thought about.
Yeah, I think that's relevant to me as well. I am definitely my worst critic. And over the years, I've slowly learned that it's important because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so am I treating myself in that way?
Right.
That's a constant wrestle of just perfectionism and trying to make sure that I am living into my identity as a child of God.
Yeah.
And that's so important to be able to, if I'm not filling myself up and if I'm not having this identity, then how can I fully give myself to others in the same way?
Yeah. The other thing, Pastor was talking a lot about love and just that family kind of love, the church love, the perfect love of the Father. And when he was talking about church hurt, he said a lot of people will say, oh, I had church hurt, but it was really somebody specifically that hurt you. And it we can't always start to heal until we can be specific about what it was that hurt us and what it was that caused that rift. And so, yeah, any of the thoughts when he was talking about church hurt? Have you seen people going through that, working through that? What's been like a healing process for them? Is that part of it, being specific? Or yeah.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I've walked with several of my friends through church hurt, and it's hard because people do associate one person with the entire church. And I mean, I found myself doing the same thing at some points where I was hurt by a person or the people of God, but not necessarily by the God that is all right. loving and all-knowing. And so I think it's important to be specific and to talk to the people or even talk to your pastor about it and say, hey, this is going on. And not to hold it against God or the church itself. But I think that's so hard. And it takes a lot of effort and a lot of time to be able to have those intentional conversations.
Yeah. And sometimes we would rather stay in that victim mentality and just say, well, this is the way it is. But there is healing and hope. There really is. There's restoration. Like you said, the God that's all loving and all caring, when people don't represent that well, that doesn't mean he's changed in any regard. Yeah. I appreciate that. Anything else that you wanted to add on that? Any thoughts coming out of Pastor's message?
I liked the example of the prodigal God.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really a really cool kind of analogy. I never thought of God as the one, because when Pastor said prodigal, meaning like reckless and relentlessly pursuing, that was very different. I had never heard that before, and I thought that was really a really beautiful way of encapsulating the story of the prodigal son.
It's like that worship song, Reckless Love, that some people have a problem with, because they're like, God is not irresponsible. And it's like, well, if I gave away love the way God does, it would be irresponsible, because he's loving people that do not love him in return and pursuing people that do not pursue him. And he's extravagant in his love. And that extravagance is that over and above even what we need or know or can grasp. And because he's pouring that love out so generously above and beyond, it's like spilling it recklessly all over us. And I do actually like the song Reckless Love, and I like the idea
of kind of a hot prodigal take.
Yes, there you go.
I like it, but I also, I understand, but I think you have to understand who God is.
Right.
And that we're called to also kind of live out this all-encompassing love for all people.
Right. It's a standard to live up to. It's part of our DNA as children of God, is to love above and beyond what we even feel socially responsible to love somebody. Go above that. Go beyond it. Yeah. Now, that is one of my hot takes with worship music. I think if you read the Psalms, a lot of people have problems with certain expressions towards God. And I'm reading David, and he says, oh, my bones are wasting away, and God, where are you? And my soul is in the pit, and like, will you save me from these things? And just sometimes the frustration that he shows towards God, or asking where he is, those kinds of things. And I feel like the permissions in the Psalms to express our emotions to God are a lot broader than people might be comfortable with on a Sunday morning. And so, yeah, that expression, these Psalms are, the book of Psalms is hymns that were sung in worship to God. And they were the hymns of worship of Yahweh for hundreds of years. And so, yeah, I feel like modern expressions have a pretty wide birth as well in what they can do. So
yeah, I think it's like so important just to be honest with God with right. all of your feelings. And in that way, you're like filling your own heart by being honest with God, and then being able to speak with other people and fill their hearts with the love of Jesus as well.
That encapsulates it really well. Honesty with God is the starting point to healing. It's a starting point to be actually loving towards other people, loving towards yourself. Being honest with God is the only way. Well, guys, we've reached the end of our time this week. We're going to continue the series Living Well as we go through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Looking forward to that message this coming week, and hope to see you all there Sunday morning. See you soon.